Welcome to Always Home to Birds of Prey. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Batman-inspired TV show that ran from 2002 to 2003 on the WB. I'm your host, Zach Morton. I'm joined by co-host, Mr. Matt Truex. What's up, Matt?
Here we go again, Zach. How are you, man?
So, Matt, you are the foremost authority on Birds of Prey. And as we have lamented about the loss of the show before its time, you have took it upon yourself
to write that wrong a bit.
To have us all revisit
Earth
203 and tie it in to the Arrowverse's Crisis on Infinite Earths that took place earlier this calendar year. So why don't you talk to us about what you have done to bring us back to Earth 203?
Hey, thank you for letting me plug this. Yeah, we watched that episode of Crisis together in a very weird way.
Through the magic of the internet.
Through the magic of the internet, I zoomed through to your TV and watched it as Ashley Scott came back for all of 47 seconds and played Huntress again, and Dina Meyer did voiceover. And I remember, like, even that first night that, like, you and Lance and I talked about it immediately right after that. And I was like, look, it sucks that we saw Huntress disintegrate on screen. But clearly she was doing a thing. Like, she was trying to do something. She's running across this rooftop with all these satellite dishes.
Hero wasn't retired and gave up their powers.
Exactly. So I'm like, what is this story there? And of course, I am going to extrapolate, like, 27 pages of a fan comic out of 48 seconds of screen time. So if anyone's interested, I have published a fan comic called Birds of Prey, Crisis on Earth 203, which is available on my website, dailyknockoff.com, totally for free because it's a fan comic and I don't want DC to think that I'm trying to infringe on their copyrights here. But I wrote this thing over Christmas of last year, and through all of quarantine I've been working with an amazing artist, Evie Cantata, who's in the Philippines. So, like, there's a lot of, like, back and forth between the two of us, and, like, first he couldn't work at first because, like, there was an earth a volcano where he was, so he had to, like, evacuate, and then all of a sudden COVID happened. So, like, there were so many problems that were, like, stopping us from getting this book created. But over the past couple of months, he drew, like I said, 27, 25 pages of this comic for me. And it fills in basically the night into the day before that scene that we saw in Crisis of Ashley Scott disintegrating. I have no perspective on it because I've been working on it for way too long. But I had a blast writing the story and just trying to imagine where the birds of prey might have been right before this, like where they've been for the past two decades or whatever. So if you're a fan of the show, I hope you enjoy this. Check it out on dailyknockoff.com. I had a blast doing it, and I would talk to anybody about it. So hit me up on at Birds of Prey TV on Instagram or at the Broken Wing site. Sorry, all my things have different names to them, but this is what happens when I change ways to talk about the show 80 times over the years. But yeah, Zach, you and a small group of people were nice enough to read it and give some feedback. And it's been really exciting. So I'm happy to see it going out to the fans of the show that will appreciate it.
Matt has shared it with the inner circle here on Always Home to Smallville. And we have all given it our massive thumbs up. You know, I mean, it's just such a labor of love. You know, I mean,
truly,
doing a podcast is one thing to be like, hey, I like this show, man. Can you believe this episode wasn't as good as I would have done it? But then to sit down and actually, like, write something and have it animated and have it pay tribute to the show you love, like, it's such a great job you did with it, man. And I understand.
I appreciate that.
Losing perspective, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because anytime, you know, creative types and you're in the middle of this thing, you have no idea. Like, you go from loving it to being like, oh, I gotta get this done, to be like, oh, it's done, I love it, but do I just love it because I finished it, or is it quality?
Right.
I mean, artists are always the biggest self-doubters of themselves, you know?
Even to the point, we don't have to get into it, but, like, there's a cameo at the end of the book that I changed the other day because I sent it to our little, you know, friend group and started rethinking it, you know? Like, there's been nothing but changes. And not to say that I'm doing the art on it. Like, I did a lot of little, like, touch-up pieces because I'm anal and was like, well, that's not what Huntress's boots look like? They look like this. But again, the artist I worked with was phenomenal. And I sent him basically in January just like the script and just a huge Google Drive worth of references for the show and all these different characters and like ideas that I had. And he just aggregated it all into a beautiful book. And I did the colors for it. And I have an amazing letterer whose work always looks professional. And it's just like, I'm really proud of it. And I made sure I did everything I could when I started the story. Like I wrote out all these things that I was like, it has to tie into Crisis in these ways. Like, mm-hmm. Huntress has to be on a raining rooftop with satellites and looking at this weird building that is not the clock tower.
Okay,
what is that building?
I don't want to spoil too much for the listeners who are going to read it too. But I did say, was one of your major inspirations like, well, that's not the clock tower. We have to get there somewhere else.
In our podcast, you were like, yeah, we see the clock tower disintegrate. I'm like, it's not clock.
So that is explained.
Oracle dies in another building for some reason, and we'll get into it.
I will also say that a certain Dark Knight may or may not make an appearance.
I couldn't not.
You had to.
I couldn't not. After 17 years, I do believe Bruce would have shown back up in Gotham at some point.
I mean, not having Batman in a Birds of Prey revival is like not having Tom Welling wear a Superman costume in a small revival. It can't be done. No,
yeah,
it
exactly.
can't be done. So absolutely. No. Batman makes an appearance as well. You get hints to the greater DC universe along with that, but you don't get too much into it. You stay focused on the birds.
Yes. Focus on the birds, but with hints of what might have developed around them over the years. My favorite thing about writing that scene with Batman, it's between Batman and Helena, mm-hmm. primarily. And it's I am the biggest Batman fan in the world, but I was like, it's the first time I've ever written, you know, anything for him. And I'm like, what a dick Batman is, because I'm writing it from his daughter's
perspective
of just like, he's the worst. And yes, he's right, but screw him, you know? So like there's the daddy issues of Helena are still kind of at the forefront here. I just had a blast writing it. And there were things that I would have done differently, obviously, but like Mark Guggenheim gave me the ending, you know, like it ends with, you know, Huntress and Oracle have the same dialogue they have and Huntress and Oracle get disintegrated. But it's kind of what happens leading up to it and what happens after that, where I tried to give the Birds of Prey a little bit of a win and a possibility to come back.
Ties it all together brilliantly. That's all I'll say.
I hope so. Well, thank you, man. It's a very self-indulgent conversation. I'm sorry.
You've earned it, man. And, you know, we joke about Earth Days and Nations so much on this show. And I got to say, you guys on Birds of Prey got a much cooler designation than Smallville.
I love it.
I understand that Hal Gal and Maz Millar were born in 1967, but Earth 167 just seems so random, you know?
I've forgotten it on podcasts.
Everyone does.
I feel terrible.
Some of my rage is for comedy, as I often do on the show. Some of it is real, my friends. But I don't know, maybe because in the age we grew up, I'm at the year 2000 always sounded so cool. So when you think it starts with 20 sounds cool to me. So like Earth 203, you know? I mean, if you're like, Zach, what would you've been complaining about this. What number would you give Earth Smallville? I would say Earth 11. Because it ended in 2011.
Oh, I like that. I thought you were gonna say 201, but I like 11.
Because then you're like, well, it's 2000. I mean, yeah. If I took the logic of the Birds of Prey, it ended in 2003, so that's 203.
So 203.
So I don't want to be 211. I want to be 11 because it's it was first.
I also respect
2-1.
That. Yes. I also respect that Smallville deserves a higher ranking number than Birds of Prey. I understand.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have it now, but I want it even higher. Yeah, I wish we got a different number, but 203 is very appropriate for you. I guess 202 also would have worked.
Yes.
I'm glad they didn't go into 2000s numbers or anything like that.
Yeah, me too. Oh, that would have hurt. There's a small indication that there might have been similarities between the Birds of Prey Earth and Smallville, but like I might be taking that, making too big a thing of it.
I noticed that as well.
This,
so there you go.
Yes.
I see what you did there, my
There's
friend.
There's one moment. And it clearly is not connected to the Smallville universe if you've read the season 11 comics. So one tiny, tiny line where I'm like, yeah, we're close.
And this does also serve as a companion to the official Crisis on Infinite Earths comic book as well. Matt was very, he was very careful to not contradict anything else that is in canon, that's on screen, or that had the official tie-in, which I haven't read the official tie-in yet for Christ Led Adventurers.
It's fine.
But the attention to detail is this could theoretically sit on your shelf and not contradict anything else. And as a huge fan of these kinds of things, I'm all about that. So
that's
much
all I wanted to do. Even to the point where, and this is the last thing I'll say, and it's because it's a weird thing, but like in that scene with Ashley Scott, she's in the poster costume. She's in the original corset and the pants and the boots and the jacket and all that. But she's got this like kind of band bra on under the corset. And I haven't talked to Ashley about it, but I'm pretty sure it's because it was raining and the corset and she's running around and like otherwise it'd be hard to contain oneself. But I'm like, why does Huntress have this on? This is strange. So I tried to imply in the book that she got injured, and what that actually is a bandage that she's had to put on under the corset.
I didn't even think about that.
And it's kind of like the end of the world. Like, this is the type, that was like one of the things early on where I'm like, what has to happen here? This is what Oracle says. What can we read into this? I guess Alfred's alive. Dinah is not mentioned. So either, my thought with Dinah was like, either we lose her in the field during like whatever is going down, which felt like too much of a loss to me, or Dinah has to go off the board earlier on. So that's what I chose to do there. So I do feel a little bad that Dinah's kind of underserviced here, but she's underserviced in the show too. So
and
whatever.
A great tribute to the late Ian Abercrombie, I think as well. So you'll see, everyone. Go. I mean, if you're listening to this, you're gonna love.
Check it out. It's free.
I mean, let's be honest here. Come on. So
I hope you enjoy it. If you didn't enjoy it, even let me know and let me know why, because I'm very curious.
Listen,
and have been obsessing
if you don't
over the past
enjoy
couple
it,
months.
If you don't like it, guys, Matt will give you a full refund.
Yes, completely. See your fan comic bursar, and you will be
your money back 100%. So yep. Anyway, shout out to you, Matt, for being the creative type.
Thank you, dude.
Putting your pin where your mouth is. Wait, that doesn't. You guys know what I'm saying. You know?
I'll
so,
take it.
So anyway.
I've got a very inky mouth. Yep.
Everybody check that out. Just one more time. Where can people find?
That is on dailyknockoff.com. You can either read it there or download a PDF from my Google Drive.
Very good. Very good. Well, Matt, it's always fun to get behind the microphone with you. You mentioned pretty much all the ways to find you already. So I guess we're covered on that front.
At Birds of Prey TV on Instagram is probably the best primary.
Then as for me, you know, more on Zach on Twitter. At some point, I'm going to stop spelling it. I think everybody knows.
I think we all know.
And then always Smallville with one S. Twitter, always on the Smallville on Facebook. Send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Until next time, everyone, always hold on to Birds of Prey.